All right. Totally.
Let's move on then. I want to talk really briefly, because I'm in the middle of doing an event report of it, about the Mega Road launch ceremony. Which was held 2 weeks ago, and it was held at the Yomiuri Hall, which is where I also went to see the Yamato 2199 launch ceremony, interestingly enough. And no one really knew what this event was going to be. And going into it, I mean, I knew it wasn't the kind of event where you had cosplayers hanging around and whatnot, because the Yomiuri Hall isn't that kind of place. There's not much to do in there.
Yeah.
In fact, there was even less to do than I thought, because I got in there, and for the Yamato thing, they had, like, some art on the walls in the lobby and some models on for exhibit. This time they had pre-sales for tickets for the Music Culture and for FB7 and the line to that counter, which took up maybe 80% of the hall, of the lobby, before you get into the hall. So there's not much to do in there. They did have some Frontier-themed shoes, a couple of odd fit. They had the Bear Bricks there, but not much. You know, I hung out there for a bit. I met a couple of people. Now, I had gotten tickets for the first. They held it twice. You know, and the way these things work is the basic content is the same, but the details are different each time. So for the people who aren't hardcore, they feel satisfied going once. For those who are hardcore, they're all going to go both times and end up spending a lot of money. So I went to the first session. I was maybe 7-8 rows back from the front. And, you know, we had, you know, Mika Doi, we had Hayami Shaw, we had Sakurai Tomo, and we had Aya Endo and Megumi Nakajima.
Why don't you say who all these people play?
Well, we had Misa, Max, Milane, Cheryl, and Ranka.
Okay.
And it was really a glorified talk show for the most part, to be absolutely honest. It was half talk show, half promotion for the Music Culture. And, you know, it was mostly just back and forth. Like, there was an MC and she was just asking, you know, impressions from the series and but the interesting thing they had her do was, you know, each voice actor had to pick a scene they felt was representative of their character. And they played the clip and then they discuss it, you know. And they chose different clips in each session, which was what made it interesting. So Hayami Shaw, Max, now he's dressed like a gangster, pretty much. He's got silk, bling, he's got like complete old school 70s Yakuza suit get up, big dark glasses, and the man's voice in person, it's up there. He's like, he has an amazing voice in person. It's gone really deep. I'm surprised he couldn't do young Max anymore. I'd be very surprised if he could.
Wait, he's doing it in the games.
But how much of young Max do you get in the PSP games?
The PSP games.
But young Max.
Yeah.
Not 7 Max, young Max. Well,
no, because he's playing young both. Max in...
Yeah, but M3 was still like 10 years ago.
Like,
okay.
And like the Blu-ray Do You Remember Love game.
Right. No, well, didn't they just snip a lot of those?
Only for Hikaru.
Only for Hikaru. Okay. Well, I stand corrected, but you wouldn't think he could do it. He must be, you know, talented.
He is really talented. I mean, he actually differentiates his voice. It's not the same clips for the different characters. In like the PSP games, you can play all the different iterations of the character.
Well, it's
the Zentradi version as well as the Macro 7 version and the...
Well, Kamiya does that as well with Fokker. I mean,
he
can play the young and old Fokker.
Right. Zero, the 01 sounds older than...
Well, yeah, that was a weird thing with the character anyway. You know, he picked, of all the scenes he could pick, the knife fight.
Really?
He picked the knife fight to have projected on a whole cinema-sized screen.
Why would he do this?
It was hilarious.
Why would West go
into this? Oh, it was great. People were cracking up. And then...
Of course they were.
And then, like, we're cracking up because... Not because of the knife fighting.
Because of the finger.
The fact that after the knife fight, he puts a finger under her chin. And she floats up in the air. And, you know, it was great. They had this, you know, big speech afterwards. And, like, the MC's saying to me, what? At what point in that fight did Max decide she was cute? What was cute about Miriam? And he's like, the tears.
Yes, the way she said, take my life. No, he's, end me now.
Saying, he's like, it's the tears. He's like, you have to realize that guys are weak when girls cry. And the MC's like, but wait, those aren't like tears of happiness or sadness. So those are tears of, she's frustrated because she's been defeated. He's like, yep. And he's like, and by the way, do you realize that happy tears and frustration tears, they have different saline content and they taste different?
I will drink your tea.
It was pretty awesome.
I'm a genius.
So basically, Sho Hayami is just as much of a player as Max is.
Exactly. Well, you know, it was pretty interesting. And you know, Mika Doi picked the scene where Misa comes into Hikaru's room when Minmei's in there to bring in the lyrics.
Okay.
And she's talking.
I don't remember the
point. In Do Your Monologue.
Oh, Do Your Monologue. Okay, yeah.
And she's talking about how much this showed about Misa as a character. She's like, look at that. She opens a door. He's in there with another girl with her hands around his waist. Your first thought is going to be to get the hell out. The hell with this, or yell. She walks in and locks herself in. She pulls the door shut. And then if you look at how she's standing, there's no way you can get to the door around her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was talking about how this really showed how she was taking control and was a strong character. And so...
Yeah, but then she broke down in tears.
Wait for it.
Okay.
So after this, they held Misa's lecture on how to shoot yourself down a flyboy. And this was... This was a recording of everyone in character with microphones and a script, and they were different for each section. Yeah, the first one was basically Misa telling everyone, like, if you, especially Milene, if you like a guy and there's two guys, you've just got to go in and do it. You've got to go and grab him, just like I pulled that door behind me. Yeah, and Ranka's like, yeah, but maybe I confessed too soon. Was that a good thing? And then Cheryl's like, wait, you confessed? When did this happen? And Ranka's like, well, you were kind of dead. Like, everyone's just laughing. Yeah, it was pretty good. And then the second session, which was the funnier to me, it was less of a lecture, although it was set up in the same way. It was more...
Wait, she was dead, and Ranka thought that this was still too soon?
That, well, yeah, she's like, I did it at the time, because this was my chance, because I thought you were... dead.
Okay.
Yeah. But the second one was more Max having a conversation with Milena about, you know, her relationship, like, with Butter and Gamelin. And it was pretty hilarious. There was nothing in particular about just one gag that jumped out, but, you know, he's just like, your father doesn't approve of any of them. And I should know, because I'm a genius. I can be a girl in a knife fight and decide to marry her on my first date. And, like, it was a Max rant, pretty much. It was really funny. Yeah. So that was actually, to be honest, the best thing about it was these two. Because you got to have this set up with everyone in character. Yeah. And that was really cool. Got a lot of laughs. And then they had some of the cast from the music culture come on. And one of them, the singer from...
Nine.
With five girls in it.
Yes.
Did a rendition.
Which always reminds me of a local group that used to play in LA called the Seven Deadly Five.
That's just. Okay. Well, she did a rendition.
You're on a non sequitur role today.
She did Diamond Crevasse, and it was a very main inspired version. You know, and they talked. And the big thing was, you know, Sayaka, Kanda Sayaka was there, Seiko Matsuda's daughter. And her big thing was that she claimed she was a huge Frontier fan. Huge, huge Frontier fan. In particular, a Cheryl fan. And, you know, I'm not sure whether this is something she's putting on to get more attention for the role, or if this answers the question we asked when they announced the music culture, when we did a podcast, saying, what is her motivation for trying to be in this? Because she's not a particularly an otaku type or have that image.
And well, no, I mean, recently she is, because she's starting to do voice acting work as well.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I think last year or maybe 2 years ago, she was doing... I don't know exactly what roles or what series, but it's... she's doing a lot of anime-related stuff now. Not just
I didn't know
Macross. No, she is doing stuff.
Well, and yeah, the whole thing, she was a Cheryl fan, so when it, like, Aya Endo would put on the Cheryl voice and do a couple of lines, and she... Sayaka, like, squealed and started literally running in circles because she was so excited. It was just hilarious. Yeah. But thanks to Richard, all I could think of, like, she's dressed in this cute outfit that's supposed to be based on the character, and all I can think of is Richard saying, she dates bad boys. She dates bad boys. She dates, like, Yakuza criminal and stuff. Yeah. And she's here, you know, screaming, running around in circles.
Right.
And the thing was, one of the pictures she posted on her blog afterwards, it's like, everyone else posted pictures of the cast together backstage.
Mm-hmm.
She posted a picture of her and Hayami.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, bad boy indeed, Max. Yes, you go. Yeah. But yeah, so they talked about the music culture and they had, you know, a bit of a talk there. And overall, I mean, they didn't show anything new or announce it. Yeah, they didn't announce anything really at all.
Well, so the website's been updated, though. Should we talk about that?
For music culture?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So they updated the website, before it just showed a few pictures of the actors, one of whom has quit and been replaced by his understudy. This did not build any confidence in this, but then they revamped it last week and, it's got voice samples. It's got pictures of the characters in costume, of the actors in costume, and it's got song samples. And for the first time, I actually feel kind of glad about
going.
Because I didn't know, well, nobody knew what the songs would be.
Right.
Were they going to be original songs, or were they going to be songs from the shows?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear now that they're songs from the shows. I think they've got 5 song samples.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all pretty good. So that at the very least, even if the story sucks, it's we can see like a song review.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like going to see Mamma Mia or We Will Rock You or something like that,
mm-hmm.
possibly.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's seeing them in costume was really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've always wondered, I was wondering how these character images are going to work. Like,
yes, especially the girl with no eyebrows.
Right.
That was very attractive.
But the one who I like was Sonia Dossel, who they do mention is Loli's granddaughter.
Is Loli the one that got married to Shami?
Based on certain... No, because he married Vanessa.
Okay.
And
most of them have really horrible domestic experiences.
Yeah, but again, it's kind of like Macross Seventh Chord versus the liner notes to Refire.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't check Macross Docking Festival before they wrote this musical.
Hmm.
It indicates possibly a happier ending for the 3 Zentradi spies.
Well, I mean, the original ending wasn't canon anyway, because it was a retelling of the ending. Within,
Right, none of it's canon. None of it's canon.
But, yeah, no, I am looking forward to the music culture, and they've also announced a lot more of the events and stuff in Tokyo Dome City. You know, the four rides are going to be themed after Macross, and they've got the menu, which makes the menu they had at the Valkyrie and at the last few events look like nothing. They've actually got real pine salad, like a pineapple, half a pineapple cutout.
Yeah, they've got a steak as well.
And they've got a real kakizaki steak.
But do they have the Zentradi parfait?
No. Okay. But I wouldn't have paid for the Zentradi parfait. But I will go and pay for a steak and a pineapple salad.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I probably won't make it out of the stadium alive.
In supermarkets, you know?
You're missing the point, Renato. You are missing the point.
They're literally the same.
Right.
Is it the same?
I could park an F4 Tomcat out the back. Doesn't mean it's going to transform, does it?
Also, they sell steaks
Exactly. I knew it was going there.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't get it, sir. You do not get it. But
Renato's the killjoy.
Always, always. So, let's move on then.
Hey, I just gave you a whole bundle of joy.
Yes. Lemon Angel. Okay, blood. Okay. Yeah, the Lemon Angel book.
Name is Terence from Singapore. First watched Macross back in elementary school, primary school. Back in Singapore, it was dubbed in Mandarin. Then after that, I got hooked onto the series and all things sci-fi, actually.
Is that the Mandarin version of Robotech or the...
No, the Mandarin, version of Macross. Macross itself.
Wow, they had a Mandarin version.
They had it dubbed. It was shown on... even it was on terrestrial channel, so it was free-to-air channel back then. I think it was 1986 or something like that.
Right, because I remember seeing the videos, the Cantonese dubbed videos in a Chinatown shop in London.
Well, in fact, my first Ai Oboe Te Masu Ka was the Cantonese version. And they even had the Cantonese version of Ai Oboe Te Masu Ka, the song, which was very incredible. Yeah,
I've heard it, yeah.
It was really good. It was very surprising for me because at first I had no idea it was Japanese animation at that young age. Then subsequently, you know, Macross 2 was on LD. I still have it at home.
Yeah, they buy it 100 yen each.
It's a pain to keep. It's a pain to keep. The disc are like so big.
I know.
Yeah.
Makes great artwork for the wall.
Yeah, if you stack them all together.
Yeah, that's true.
It occupies the whole wall.
So you've seen original show, Do You Remember Love, Macross 2. Did you see Plus and 7?
Plus 7, everything. Okay. In fact, the only thing I think I skipped so far was Zero.
Oh.
Because the only reason was it was an OVA release. I hated to wait months in between. And it happened during the, for example, Gundam 8 MS team. It happened during that period where there was like 1 or 2 years break. I was very worried that something like that could happen to that series. So I'd rather watch it when the whole thing was done, but I still haven't gotten back around to it.
And obviously you're familiar with Frontier.
Of course.
Your thoughts on Frontier?
Good. Good, but, you know... I don't know how to put it anymore. Because TV series has its own ending, which was like, okay. Then when you saw the movie, it was spectacular. And you went back to watch the TV series, you're like,
Well, all I can say is Frontier is a lot better if you watch Zero.
Yeah.
So go back, watch Zero. Yeah. It might help a little bit.
I would say Zero is a lot better if you watch Frontier.
Yeah, that's right. I'd say Zero. So you're better off watching it after
Frontier. After Frontier, yeah. So this will be a good time for me too.
Yeah, it'd be a very good time to go rent it and finish things.
The only thing I'm worried right now is FB7.
Ah, yeah. Well, let's not speculate on what that's going to be. We'll just wait for it.
Yeah, we'll just wait for it. But the only thing... I'm not worried about the show itself. I'm worried that if I'm in Japan at that time...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots of research.
Two questions. Which is your favorite Macross? Whether it's OVA series, movie?
Based on storyline or based on mech? Because obviously, if mech, it has to be either 7 or Frontier. Because I like the 17, VF-17 and VF-171.
Oh, I got to agree with you. 171 is great.
It's great.
All right. Based on story?
Story has to be Ai Oboe Te Masu Ka. That's one of the best. Has everything in it.
All right. Favorite?
Short and sweet.
All
right. TV series.
TV series.
TV series.
Movie, TV series. Which one?
TV series. First one is good on storyline, but for excitement, you had to go with Frontier.
Alright. Last two questions.
Right.
Favorite female character?
Lin Min Mei. Was there ever any doubt?
Okay. Favorite male character?
Neki Basara kana.
Both good answers.
Yeah. Isamu Dyson is not bad, but I would like to see him come back in Frontier. I would love to see him come back in Frontier.
Other than piloting...
And I'd like to know if he's still using YF or VF-19.
But you did see him in the last movie, right?
YF or VF? It was so fun.
He was in the 19. He was in the...
He was 19.
YF-19 Advanced. That's what it was called. Because it had SMS super packs.
Yeah, so technically we would guess it's that, but he only showed the bottom... You know, the belly of the plane before it went down.
But we want more. But we got the voice and we got the scene. And
yeah.
That pretty much made the movie great.
Yes, it was.
Right,
it was a great surprise.
Thanks, Terrence.
Hey, thank you.
So, There's been a lot of internet specials as of late. Now, Renato, was there anything new with those? Well, hang on, not even internet. The TV specials, the seminars, are they still going or are they finished?
They're still going.
They're still going.
They just wrapped up Macro 7. Oh, they're still going, but I'm not writing about them anymore because, like, nobody cares, right? So,
I saw the one with the secret of the space ruins.
Right, so that was probably 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Last week was, or rather this week, was the end of Macro 7.
Oh, okay.
They had the last two episodes. And this
week
coming
space
week,
whales.
No, it's not. It's Macros Plus.
So even fewer people are going to be watching that.
I think they're wrapping up after the week after that,
right.
Because they really don't have anything else to do unless they're really going to want to do Dynamite 7. Why? Because they're edited things.
It's
right?
it's just edited TV episodes and a very badly animated super deformed Cheryl delivering a little bit of commentary at the end that really doesn't amount to much.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool that Macross is back on TV.
In some form.
But other than that.
This is really just an advert for the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Just like FB7 is an advert for the Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But having said that, does anyone have this suspicion in the back of their mind that, yes, they're promoting the Blu-rays, but they're going through the backstory of all the Macrosses. I mean, this is the kind of thing you do in the lead up to something new being announced.
I'm hesitant to say anything like that.
I
know that in Macross FB7, it's not just going to be 7.
Oh, no, the Frontier footage is new. And as far as we know, all the 7 footage is reused.
But apparently they also have lots of references to other Macross. So fans Macross will
I know that,
show,
but having
apparently.
Said that, unless they're doing their best to keep this under wraps, I've seen photos of the recordings session. And there are no Macross Frontier, it's no Macross 7, sorry, voice actors in the session.
Yeah, and they haven't announced them either.
And they haven't announced them, their names are not on the posters or in the credits.
Yeah.
So unless this is like they're trying to do a Kaiser Soze or something, or, you know, this is the best hidden secret ever. It is all reused 7 footage and new Frontier stuff. And, heck, it could be done in a really clever way and fun way. But that's not the kind of thing I would expect them to be pumping people up for by broadcasting a summary of every single Macro show ever made.
Well, there was someone on the boards who, when you were posting about Macross FB7, who said, okay, well, is this it? Is this... the 30th anniversary thing.
No.
The problem is, it's not, but it's about the only one that people outside of Japan will be able to access that's not merchandise, because I think the 30th anniversary has been everything, and it's mostly been events.
Right, and this
kind of sucks for the people who don't live in cities.
Exactly.
Or even Tokyo.
Right.
Right. Well,
there was that one event that was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that one event. Okay.
But the design, the Macross design has been doing a national tour pretty much. They're going everywhere. They opened in Fukuoka on the 14th. Most of them, the events are Tokyo or Osaka oriented. I'll admit that. More Tokyo, but then what do you expect? But
that is what I expect. Also, there's no young people outside
Tokyo.
Large cities.
No. They
Such is the way that Japan is heading.
So yeah, it is everything. It's all these events which there's been no one event in particular. It's not even like in 2009 where we had the Crossover Live. If they had something like the Crossover Live, I think it would be easier for people outside of Japan to grab that, even though they can't see it, and be like, okay, this is obviously the event.
Yeah.
Because
that's what they did in the previous years. Like,
and I think the music culture is bigger than FB7.
But wouldn't you say the Wonder
definitely.
One Valk was the biggest thing?
No, I'd say the music culture is the biggest thing.
Really?
It's the newest
people
addition to the story.
Yeah. Not that many people saw the Wonder One Valk, I think.
But not even that not many people saw it, but it's like the music culture, this is a new story, it's new characters, it's a new setting.
Yeah.
And I, good or bad, I hope it gets released in some form.
Form, yeah.
Because
It's just 1 week, though. That's
I know, eight but performances. And yeah. If it doesn't get released in some video form, it'll just get lost. And I think it's kind of a shame.
There's a lot of things that have been lost, even from the 80s.
That TV special?
That TV special. But, yeah. Do you remember there was a Macross Fair around the time that all these books were coming out from Shogakukan, like the Gold Book and
what,
all these things?
What, but what year are we talking about?
A new story for those is what I'm is the point I'm making. Yeah. This is like, I mean, Macross Generation was new characters, new setting, new story. You can still get the CDs for those. Mm. If they don't release the musical in some way, then that's just a Macross chapter that is gone.
Yeah.
Well, then again, the fact that they are introducing new characters and story elements, maybe, you know, that would suggest they will save it and bring it out in some format. You'd hope.
One hopes, but that involves logic, and I'm not sure that logic is really true. A big factor here.
I won't disagree with that. But, you know, I mean, we've had, you know, drama CDs, for example, in the past. They could...
Too many.
Right, but you could consolidate, condense, and expand at the same time the music culture storyline potentially into, like,
if
a drama
Macross
CD.
If Macross Ace still existed, they could probably do a manga of it.
Right. Well, I just think they might put it on a Blu-ray, and there are ways they could save the story other than that, but... With new story elements, I mean, heck, they even republished Macross the Ride into, you know, two novels and two art books.
I'm quite positive they will make a Blu-ray of that music culture thing. I mean, they brought out so many concerts from Frontier.
Well, that's Frontier. And I was looking at, like, musicals that, like, some of the actors had been in, and, like, one of the guys was in all of the Prince of Tennis musicals, and I know that that's a much bigger thing than Macross,
but all of those were released. Okay.
I don't know. I was kind of wondering about. I know SMAP, who we mentioned earlier, did the Saint Seiya musical.
Did they?
Yeah.
They also did the live action like Gatchaman TV ago. Commercials.
I don't know if that was ever released, but there is a history of like this stuff being released for home video. So I'm hoping, good or bad. I'm hoping.
Yeah, I knew there was a Prince of Tennis musical. I just never knew SMAP was involved.
SMAP was involved in the Saint Seiya.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Well, to go back on topic, the TV specials are continuing.
They're continuing.
Okay. Well, online last week, of course, we had the emergency broadcast.
Yes.
Because it had so much in it that was necessary to be broadcast.
Such
in
as
emergency.
A quiz. As when did the Macross fall?
And
we need to know this right now.
Some chick dressed up like Ranka.
Right. Well, you know, we had really only one person on the broadcast. It was broadcast on Nico Nico Live, and it was rebroadcast once as well. But yeah, basically it was Megumi and a bunch of people from the music culture talking about FB7 and the music culture, and then they had Aya Endo with a pre-recorded segment leading into what was really the biggest thing. There were two things that came out of this little broadcast, which was 110 minutes or so, which was about...
Was one of them Dekarucha?
That was... We'll get to that. but it was far longer than it needed to be. But it was more just like... One thing a lot of people tend to forget is that a lot of the cast of the music culture seem to be fans in some way. Like one of the male leads, Shion... He was a huge Macross 7 fan to the point that in high school he formed a band and they played Fire Bomber songs. Yeah. And you've got, you know, Kanda Sayaka, who claims to be a huge Cheryl and Frontier fan. And so it was mostly them just mucking around and talking. So the three segments, just the introduction, everyone talking, then there was the FB7 stuff, which was segment one really, then the music culture stuff, and there was a quiz show. And at the end they gave some prizes away. Now, the biggest news, if you could call it that, out of this special, fun as it may have been to watch, and there were a lot of laughs to be had, was that A, they played 30 seconds of a brand new Fire Bomber song, which is going to be in the background as music in what is the second big announcement, the first real trailer, which comes out on October 22nd, both on the website and probably cinemas and whatnot.
Trailer for FB7.
For FB7, yeah. Now, keep in mind, the 22nd is also the day they are holding an anniversary stage show at Tokyo Game Show. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, they will probably show it there as well, and maybe reveal.
So, is that going to be the new announcement?
What?
They said that they were going to have an announcement at the Bandai Namco booth in Tokyo Game Show, right? So, is it just going to be the
right
trailer? It'll be a bit of a
doubt. I don't think
that.
So. I think it'll be something else.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it is something else, actually. But yeah, so that was really most that came out of it. But then there was all mucking around. There was the that explained the culture because
All throughout this thing, and I noticed this quite early.
The way he was drinking.
Shion,
yeah,
who is the one guy, well, the person out of that whole lot who looked more like
male.
A man.
Oh, that Ranko was anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. He kept even while he was talking. He kept drinking his
tea,
water bottle.
Water, tea, water.
It was water at first. And they kept having to bring him new water bottles.
Right.
And so the comments... I don't know if anyone has seen Nico Nico Doga before. Nico... What's it called in English? Nico Video, right?
Yeah.
So Nico Video, one of the features is that the comments are scrolling across the screen whilst you're watching it.
It's like YouTube, but with... comments scrolling across
the
screen.
The actual picture,
and
which is
this...
annoying because it obstructs the picture.
Yeah, you
can
turn
them off.
You
can turn
them
off. I watched it with them on. Usually I turn them off, but
right.
I watched it on because this was live, so it was kind of like watching it with a bunch of people.
Right.
You know, and they didn't say anything particularly interesting, but it was just kind of to have.
No one did text out of August or anything?
No, maybe I should have done that. So they were saying, hey, you know, Shion needs a change of water, you need to bring him some more water. And after a while...
Must have been a girl at the Yokocano event with the drinks. Yeah.
Okay. After a while, they brought him a huge 2-liter bottle of
tea.
What was probably barley tea or oolong tea or something like that.
Think, yeah.
And they had a label on it that was written in katakana and kanji, which said, Dekaru cha. And the cha is the kanji for tea.
Right. And then they had the quiz show, and as I put on Twitter at the time, these music culture kids really suck at their Macross trivia.
What were the questions
I got quite
like?
A few wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you get wrong?
The name of the... That's because I didn't read the question properly. The name of the war
so
that happened after the Macross landed.
Oh, the Unification War?
It was the Unification War. I thought, well, it's obviously...
Space War
1. Space War 1.
Right.
And there was something else.
There was
what about Yeo-chan?
Yeah, the one about Yeo-chan, right? That
was
the most
difficult. What
one.
About Yeo-chan?
Some really bizarre...
No, wasn't that the one's like, you know, who is he? Is that the one? It's like...
Well,
oh, not
he,
that. No,
he's Minmay's little friend who later became the Nyan Nyan Impresario.
Yeah, it was like, is he Minmay's brother? Is he Minmay's
cousin?
Or is it Minmay's... the guy who lives opposite Minmay or whatever.
Oh, he lives next door.
Right,
yeah.
And everyone
yeah.
was putting like cousin and stuff. If people were.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they all Robotech fans?
No, but the other one was. There were two about him. The other one was what business did he go into after?
Nyan Nyan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That was the question. Yeah.
Really
oh, but no, a lot of the cast got that wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the thing is, the cast were voting, but at the same time, in real time, you could vote on the website, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at it. And it came up with the tally of what percentage had voted for what thing. And a lot of the cast didn't get the Nyan Nyan.
Well, what did you like about... who was it? Was it Kanda-sai? No, it wasn't. It was the girl who dressed up as Ranka who gave one of the questions away.
Did she? I have to admit, halfway through the trivia quiz, I got booted
watching?
From the feed. And
okay.
It took me 10 minutes to log back in.
Oh, no, everyone did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the comments kept going. And they were like, ちょっと, どうなってんの? Tomatta, and they were like, TMT, which
right.
means tomatta, you know.
It stopped, it stopped.
Well,
it, stopped.
It wouldn't reload for me, like, I had to log out the entire site.
No, it was it was out for about 5 minutes.
Right.
And they kept putting messages up on the screen saying, please bear with us, we're having technical difficulties. And when they came back up, I don't know if you noticed, but the cast were like, okay, can everyone see us now? Sorry. And I think it was Shion who said, we were defaulting. We've completed the default now, and now we will continue with our quiz.
Just the fact that he knows that much, that's
yeah.
kind of cool.
He is a huge fan. It's kind of interesting.
And there was one other thing.
What a question?
It?
Well, there was,
about
like,
question,
what was the name of the island in Macross Zero?
Yeah.
Which a lot of
Mayan.
People, A lot of people got wrong.
Really?
What did they say?
Well, they had four options. It was like, one was a resort name, and the other one was...
Ataria?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the girl who was dressed up as Ranka, who was the main host...
Right.
She's apparently some famous person to do with otaku. I'm not really sure who she is.
So
Antibiotic Tab, if he was here... If Antibiotic Tab was here, well, which he should have been...
He will be here for the next one.
Yeah. He knows who she is. Just gave away one of the questions.
Answers.
She didn't notice one of the answers of the question, because the question, I think, was a rather simple one.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think, who was the first couple interstellar
right.
interspecies
okay.
couple?
Max and Miria.
Max and Miria. No. I think that was the question.
Brita and Exodor.
No, it's Megatron and Starscream.
Oh, wait, they're from the same.
He'll be here all week, folks. Yeah, play with your clan, clan.
And she said, "Yeah, Max is kakkoii ne. Max is so cool." And everyone was like, "Oh."
Fair enough. I liked at the end how like Megumi did a few lines because they asked her to do. Some
everyone liked that. I hated that.
Everyone was going crazy.
I hated that.
And she did lines from the movie as well, which was,
I know.
And then at the end, they were giving away some presents, well, some prizes, and there was an autographed poster of the Music Culture signed by the cast who were there. There was an autographed poster of FB7, but I'm like, what, you've got Megumi's signature and that's it.
Did you apply for that?
Yeah, but I didn't apply for the posters. I applied for the other two, which were they had the a pillow or a cushion of Cheryl's phone, Kayaki phone, signed by Aya Endo. Signed by Endo. And they had the pillow of Ranka's phone.
Yeah.
Signed by Megumi. Like, huge across the pillow. Like,
I'm
those
betting
awesome.
I got closer to an Aya Endo signature than you did.
I probably... Because, and this is the thing no one's mentioned. Did you look at the feed, how many people tuned into that broadcast?
No.
Because I was like, yeah, maybe a couple of thousand people, so like I probably won't...
Well, it was a lot, because everyone kept, kept being
over,
booted out. Unless you have a premium account.
Right.
If it's... If it's too...
And premium gets you HD, doesn't it? Not standard def?
Probably.
Like, because it was really compressed in Artifact. But over 30,000 people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there were 45,000 comments and over 30,000 and like 60 or something.
So that's more than half of the population in the Macross itself.
Right. It's that just got me. It's like, for something so... niche, a Nickel Nickel live broadcast, like 30,000 people. I was like, wow. And I only knew because afterwards someone tweeted it. And I was like, I went back and checked the log. It's like, wow.
Look,
we have to check how big the macros are.
I work occasionally in junior high schools.
Right.
And all the students will always ask me questions. So these are people who are, you know, 13, 14 years old.
Right.
And, They asked me once, what is your favorite anime?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Macross. And everyone looked really blank for a moment. And then one of the guys said, oh, Lion. And then he turned to everyone else. He was like, you know that song, Lion. And then everyone was like, oh, yeah, we know that.
And what did you say?
He said,
I said, yeah.
You don't remember love.
No, I didn't go that far.
He broke into song.
That geeky.
No, he drew an August on the blackboard.
No, although one of the kids did tell me that his favorite Gundam was G Gundam, which surprised me.
Kid
must
be
fun.
Removed from the gene pool. The sooner we take him out, the better. All right, so the final event we've got to touch on then. Renato. Is all you. You went to something of a more somber nature.
First of all, I should say that Ishiguro Noboru, for those of you who don't know, was the director of the 1982 series Super Dimension Fortress Macross. How basic do I have to go with this?
No, think of this as like the TV specials. You are the Cheryl popping up in the corner.
Oh, you know, I hate... Okay. I think... The people who are most listening to this are Macross World people, right?
Yeah,
so,
Star Blazer fans, they'll know.
Ishiguro Noboru is one of the most
famous directors of Japanese animation. And unfortunately, he passed away on March 20th this year.
Right.
And I had almost up until his passing been meeting with him once every 2 months or something like that, just to chat and kind of do interviews and things, because I wanted to make a retrospective of his life and work,
right,
and its positioning within the history of Japanese animation. One of the things that I do, is, you know, apart from teaching, is I like to sometime, at some point, construct an archive of the history of Japanese animation. And since next year, it's the 50th anniversary of TV animation in Japan.
Right.
You know, I kind of have to really get going. So I was talking, I thought that Ishiguro was one of the key people there. He was there from the very, very beginning,
right,
of the TV industry, at least.
Well, a lot of the systems he put in place.
Yes. The techniques. The techniques. You can say, right. Yeah. The system was mostly put in place by Tezuka or something. Anyway, today I'm just going to talk about his memorial service that was held last week. I will talk about him as a person probably some other time.
Okay.
You just killed a clan.
I did. I'll put it back together. I'm sorry.
You bastard.
Mini clan.
Sweet. Mini clan at that. Sweet. Her legs came off.
I got the best part. Keep going.
Of mini clan?
The best part.
Keep going.
Oh yeah, it's very... It's very easy to talk about a gentleman who just passed away when you have murdered a 13-year-old child.
I didn't do it on purpose. An agent's going to probably...
She's 19.
13 is what she looks like.
She's 19.
Okay.
So speaking of 19-year-olds...
On September 7th, which was just last week, 2012, by the way, which is when we're recording this. I don't know what year you're going to... Yeah. So, in Kichijoji, which is... part of the outskirts of Tokyo.
Which is where I work.
Which is where Richard works. There was a memorial service held for Noboru Ishiguro. And it was attended by lots of industry important people.
Right.
Amongst the attendants was, let's see, Leiji Matsumoto, which you might be interested
in. Wow, he was there.
Yoshiki Tanaka, who was the original author of Legend of Galactic Heroes. Noriko Ohara, who came a bit late. Noriko Ohara was the actress who played Claudia in Macross, and also dozens of other characters up until that point. She was already a veteran by the time she started Macross. She played like Peter from Heidi. She played Doronjo from Time Bokan, and all these other like... very, very famous within Japan characters. Who else did we have? Izubuchi Yutaka, the director of Yamato 2199, the designer of the Pat Labor robots, was there too.
Oh, wow. Izubuchi?
Yeah. Itano Ichiro was there. Anno Hideaki was there. Mm-hmm. Anno Hideaki is the... director of Gunbuster and Nadia, and
he was also Evangelion. No, he was a key person in Macross.
He was that a key frame. Person in Macross, right? He drew that thing that with the Mari Ijima face on it. The event was basically just mostly having these people talk on stage while reminiscing about some of the things that Ishiguro taught them, or some of the more personal experiences that they had with Ishiguro, or playing like really old footage of Ishiguro at work. Like, for example, I brought here a book that he wrote 30 years ago.
30 years ago?
30 years ago. This was just before... Macross was made. No, this was just after the Yamato movies had come out, I think.
Okay.
The Phoenix movie was just coming out. It was just in production. He wrote that with Noriko Ohara, and they had a huge event where Noriko Ohara and him were like fooling around in a hotel.
Fooling
around in a hotel. It's like, it's really crazy. I mean, if you knew Ishiguro and his sense of humor,
right?
It's like, you know, he's drinking and he's supposed to be on stage talking, but he's just grabbing members of the audience who are probably industry members, and he's just pulling them by the arms and putting them on stage, and he's like, you talk, you say something. So what I want to do really is just bring more photographs of him, like when he was younger, and him messing about in the studio, because he had a reputation of being kind of like a dirty old man as well, like some people. by the way, what is going on over there?
Like Isaac Asimov.
Yes. Anyway, the memorial began. First of all, it was a buffet, right? There was lots of food there. But before we ate, as usual in Japanese events, Japanese buffet dinners, you had to give several speeches and then a kanpai, which is a toast. Mm-hmm. And then we can begin the actual chit-chat and the dinners. So the people who gave the key speeches were Leiji Matsumoto and Yoshiki Tanaka.
Matsumoto spoke.
And he was talking about how, and this is not perverted in any way, but it might sound it. He and Ishiguro, when they were much younger, when they were in their 30s, went to Waikiki Beach together.
Okay.
And they started fooling around on the beach.
Together?
Together. And they were talking about stuff, you know, hey, it would be really cool if we made this series like this, or we made this, that. And then when they came back to Japan, they said, okay, let's do it. Yamato, let's go. And that's where the whole concept from Yamato came. It was basically right. They worked out the key concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what you're looking at there within the book of Ishiguro is a comparison of some of the original artwork, which was production material for Yamato,
mm-hmm.
and how much more of a perv Analyzer was as a character. Like, yeah. He's really feeling up...
I've been watching Yamato, he's pretty pervy.
Yeah, but he's really feeling
up... Look at the difference there, you see where his hand is?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And actually, as it happens, during the memorial service,
right.
They actually showed this.
Really?
Yeah. Hikawa Ryusuke, who is a manga, an animation critic, and archivist almost.
I just want to say, he's been around for so long. I was looking at that, you mentioned on the website, on Macrosword, the anime, Yawa.
BS anime.
I had the book.
It's bullshit anime.
Yeah, well, I had the book anyway. I was having a look at it, he's one of the panel.
Oh, yeah, but he's... No. He's been doing this in real time, because he was a fan of what Yamato was doing, right?
Right.
He was exactly the same as Kawamori. He's the same person, basically.
But neither of us.
But Kawamori went on into the creative side, whereas Hikawa did not. They both were there pretty much at the same time, going over to Studio Nume, going over to Artland, and going over to Ishiguro, saying, hey, please tell us what you're doing with this Yamato show, it's really cool. And yeah, I mean, they just grew up with it as the medium developed.
Right.
So they're of that generation. And that's pretty much how he became so well-versed in all of this. So during the...
Just a picture in the back of the book. It's pretty... Like that's him, you said, he likes playing around. He's looking really playboyish.
Who's he with?
That's Noriko Oha.
Okay.
Hikawa Ryusuke was showing what was so Ishiguro-like about certain Yamato scenes, and so he was going back to the production materials and, you know, looking at Tetsuo and Atom, Astro Boy clips, etc.
Which you've been watching also, right?
No. What, because of the Facebook thing?
Yeah.
No, that was a clip from Marine...
Boy Kona? No.
You're talking about Future Boy Kona.
Future Boy Kona.
No,
yeah.
I'm talking about the Tetsuo and Atom.
I know. He's talking about... That was Marine Express, which was a TV movie made by Tezuka, and that featured lots of his characters, like Atom and Blackjack and people like that. It wasn't... It, It wasn't anything to do with this. Mm. But yeah, Ishiguro also directed episodes of the original Astro Boy, and he also directed the entire run of the 1980 Astro Boy. So it's all tied together anyway. But what I really want to explain to you today is how the actual process of how the actual progression went by at the memorial. It began with the Miss DJ interview by Ijima Mari, who played Minmei, interviewing Ishiguro, played Sho Blackstone.
He had me explain who Mika Doi was earlier, so yes.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Okay, I'm doing it.
So the Sho Blackstone interview where he's like, Kawaiina.
They played that, yeah. That was the first thing that they... And everyone cracked up. I mean, that really set the mood for the rest of the service. So I mean, it wasn't a solemn thing. It wasn't like, oh, what are we going to do without him? It wasn't that at all. It was like a celebration of his sense of humor.
Right.
It was all really...
Some people might not know the Miss DJ interview.
Yeah, Richard, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, because I translated all of this with help from my friends.
Goodbye with a little help from my friends.
Thank you. Yeah, the Miss DJ interview, it's like, it's the Miss DJ album is a Minmei radio show, and Nobuo Ishiguro shows up as Sho Blackstone, the director of Shao Pai Lon. And she, Minmei, Mari Ijima, keeps asking him all of these questions, and all he can say is, Kawaiina, like, wow, you're really cute. And she asks him all these serious questions about making this kung fu movie, and he just, all he keeps saying is, wow, you're really cute. And finally, he comes out and says, okay, the staff sucked,
yeah.
The script sucked, everything sucked, but we made a great movie.
Yeah.
But, man, you're really cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it was. They played pretty much the whole interview.
Yeah, so then after that, the author of Legend of Galactic Heroes, Tanaka-san, came up and spoke about how he was touched that Ishiguro would have wanted to, or had wanted to make an animated version of his works, and he was relieved that it was such a success because he'd never imagined that anyone would ever want to watch his novels in anime form. Hmm. And yeah, and all those talked, Matsumoto Leiji talked, Ohara Noriko talked. I'm kind of just going around in circles now. But when they actually had it set the mood. And then when they had the kanpai, people could talk to each other, and so it was a good opportunity for me to just have light-hearted talk, because you can't have those kind of things with people when you're at signings or kind of events.
Of course, right.
Especially, what was that? Itano and Hideaki Anno, I mean, they're all, like, nice guys and everything, but I think that the nicest person that I spoke to... Mikimoto was there as well, by the way. He's a really hands-off guy, always.
Was Tomino there?
Tomino was not there.
Okay, so he didn't threaten to punch you out again.
No. Kawamori was also conspicuously not there.
Really?
Yes. Even though his name was on the list. I have the list here. I'll show a photograph later.
What's the story behind that?
I don't know. Maybe he's busy. Oh, well, Ohara Noriko was late. She was supposed to give a speech earlier, but she gave it almost near the end because of work. Apparently, I don't know how old she is, okay? But I thought she was retired. She's not. She's still doing a lot of voice work. So she had a very interesting speech.
She's got a great voice, though.
Yeah, but it's not the same as it was. yeah, she does, of course, and she's a veteran, so, you know, she's highly respected in that field. The nicest person was Ohara Noriko, that I spoke to. And also, this was like 2 or 3 days after the Mega Road event.
Okay.
I was speaking to Ohara Noriko, and she turns around and says, "Oh, you might want to speak to this person." And I was like, and I turned around and I was like, okay, hi, I was just speaking to Ohara-san. My name is Renato, and I'm doing some research on this, blah, 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 blah. And she said, my name is Doi. And I was like, Doi Mika-san? And she said, yes, yes, oh, you know me? And I was like, oh. Yeah.
What happened to your hair?
Yeah. All these things are going through my mind.
In circles as he jizzed in his pants.
All these things are going through my mind. Wait, you don't look like I expected you to. It was the hair.
It was the hair.
I would have, if she had any other hairstyle, I would have recognized her.
She's got a crew cut now.
She looks like an extra from a Dolph Lundgren movie now. That's it.
You don't look good. We don't look good.
She just walks up. She's, I will break you. Anyway,
you'll lose. Anyway, yeah, it's very nice, but I didn't. It was very strange being there. I didn't feel like a fan, and that's kind of a good way, because when I left with a friend, I was there with a writer friend of mine,
right?
And we walked back to Mitaka, which is like a half an hour walk, I guess, from Mikijoji.
Something like that, yeah.
And we were talking about all sorts of things. And it was only after I got home that I realized, hey, you know, maybe if I was 10 years younger, I would have been like, oh my god, that was so cool! And it was cool, but I wasn't like fangasming out. Because if I was, I would have been thinking, oh my god, she sounded exactly like her character. And to be honest, I don't remember what Mikadoi sounded like. And I never pictured Misa Hayase while I was speaking to her. So it was kind of an interesting experience. For me, I'm not saying this is that I had a bad experience.
No,
I'm just saying it was really, really interesting to talk to these people as people.
I mean, it almost sounds like a similar thing that, say, journalists go through. Yeah,
exactly.
Especially if you're in the enthusiast press, you have to become comfortable with talking with your idols, with the people you've grown up respecting, and not jizz out and not ask for their autograph and.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you're not getting a second interview.
Well,
you know.
So I was introduced to Mari Ijima by my Japanese teacher because they're friends.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't spaz out.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'd spazzed out, that probably would have been a bad thing.
The whole thing wrapped up with a couple more speeches from a gentleman from Mushi Productions called Ito Satoshi, who was a producer on Patenrai, which is a movie that nobody has seen because it was never properly released. It was kind of a roadshow kind of thing that was only shown specific events.
Right.
It was a movie that Ishiguro directed, which was based on a true story of this guy who made a dam, I think. I don't remember very well, but it was a dam in a Taiwanese village. And the story was about the Taiwanese villagers not understanding what he was trying to do because they had this centuries-old tradition of just going over to the lake and then taking the water, walking for miles and miles and miles and taking the water to the village. And he said, well, this is going to make your life a lot easier. You can...
Right.
And the movie certainly had a message to it. So this gentleman spoke about that. And I'm going to be writing about these works, which are not so famous, later on as well. And lastly, I don't know how many people know about Angel Scandies, which is the last thing that Ishiguro was working on. Angel Scandies is berated by a lot of Ishiguro fans because... Well, when I say Ishiguro fans, I probably mean like Western Ishiguro fans, because most of the things that Ishiguro is famous for overseas is science fiction based stuff, like Yamato and Macross, right?
Right.
And Megazone 2-3, of course. By the way, they played a really rare Megazone 2-3 Part 2 trailer.
Oh, right.
I've never seen any of the footage, well, most of the footage there. A lot of it didn't make the cut into final movie.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, so as excited as you are by that, you're probably not going to care about Angel Scandies, right? Because the Angel Scandies thing... I know. The Angel Scandies thing is basically an idol platform.
Right.
The story is that, as far as I understand it, that there's three angels from heaven and there's three demons from hell. and they're all singing different songs and doing stuff. The project itself is interesting because it wasn't a story that Ishiguro wanted to tell. It was just something that he wanted to pitch and said, hey, let's all brainstorm and let's try and make something as fun as possible. Ishiguro, I don't know how many people know about this, used to be a musician as well as a manga artist, and he was in a Hawaiian band, and he always wanted to make a musical. Ironically, that's happening with Macross, right? He's not involved in that, obviously. But, you know, this was one of his chances to make a musical anime, and he wanted to do it not by dictating what everything was going to go in, but even opening up the ideas to the pitching of ideas to the voice actors themselves and the singers themselves.
Right.
And most of them are very young, they're in their maybe teens, maybe early 20s. Right. And they were there, and they actually performed the song there, a cappella. It wasn't very good, I have to say. The singing itself wasn't very good.
Okay.
I don't know if they're not used to singing a cappella. But, you know, it's a thought that counts. And they have a radio show as well. The anime itself is not produced yet. But apparently it is a project that is in the works.
It's still going to be finished, so...
I don't know. It was kind of put on hold, I think, but now it's gaining some more momentum. For a while after he passed away, it was kind of like, okay, where's this going to go? What's going to happen with this?
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's back on now. And who knows? Maybe we'll see it before Love Live, Alive, Alive, Alive.
And Eri Takeda is writing songs for that, isn't she?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, Ishiguro really wanted to have lots of different people give input to it, and so he opened up entries for songs, any songwriter who wanted to write songs for the show, and he checked out some songs that he liked, and when he checked the credits, one of them was written by Eri Takeda, who was the
Miria.
Voice of Miria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to get multiple variations of Miria's lullaby?
I don't think it's Miria's lullaby. He didn't say that he used that song, either. Maybe he's not using it. I don't know. Anyway, I have written up articles which will be on japancinema.net.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who runs that site is very nice, and he will also plug macrossworld.com and this podcast, hopefully. So... Nice. I hope that we spread the knowledge of Ishiguro Noboru and all the wonderful anime that he's given us over this 50 years.
Wow.
And
he's just been involved with so much. I mean, way more than we can cover in this short little report, but...
I mean...
We did want to get into more depth, but we're running short on time, so hopefully next episode.
I'll do that next episode, yeah.
But, I mean, believe it or not, we didn't actually get around to talking about the box set.
That's fine.
Do you remember Love?
I like it. I think it's pretty good.
All right, moving on.
The game is nice.
Yeah.
Memo said it was the worst thing he'd ever seen.
What? The movie or the actual Blu-ray?
The Blu-ray.
Did he download it or did you buy it?
He probably downloaded it.
Mother.
Well, there you go. But anyways, all right then. Well, I think it's almost time to sign off. There is something I'd like to bring up just briefly before we go. Anyone who's been following the forums may have noticed, but... VF15 Banshee has got an episode of his new podcast up, and he does mention Macross Speaker Podcast in passing, and he's also looking at putting together a Macross themed podcast for his next episode. The current one's a Batman themed episode. Not that Batman, but anyways, okay. His next one, now that the 30th, anniversary, we're in October, or we're approaching October.
Okay.
In my mind, I'm already in October. He's looking at doing a special, so, you know, everyone keep your eyes out for that, definitely, and I know I'm looking forward to...
Can I make a last mention?
He is on the forum, which is where we'll be posted. Go ahead.
Okay. One of my friends was here from Scotland, visited Tokyo recently, and we were talking, and I mentioned in passing the movie Right Rose Campus and Then Everybody Gets Raped.
This again?
And he actually went out and bought the DVD.
At Japanese prices?
Yes. Well, I think he found it used. But he went back to Scotland, he watched it, and he told me, man, this is the best movie ever. So, White Rose Campus, Everybody Gets Raped, Stephen Kinch says it's the best movie ever.
And he's Scottish.
He's Scottish.
So he should know.
Yes. He wears a kilt.
Then that tells us everything. And anyway, so let's wrap this up on the notion of kilts. And we'll get into Ishiguro's stuff in more depth, hopefully, in a future past. And we are going to have our next podcast, probably in October as well, because we're going to have the music culture talk about. Fukuyama's tribute to Basara and FB7. So those three things alone make October one heck of a month. And then the one after that will probably be December, because we want to get the Fire Bomber concerts done.
And possibly the 1-1 Valk.
If it actually
comes back around.
The lack of news about that is disturbing. I'm starting to get worried about the technical challenges facing the project. But yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay if they don't do it.
You're lying.
But anyway, no,
if they did it, you'd be like, oh my god.
Yeah, if they did it, I'd be like that. But if they don't do it, I was like, yeah, I know, it's just too tough to do.
Alright. Well, so, in short, until October, this is Macro Speaker Podcast, and we're folding out. Mm-hmm.